You are now listening to Well-Fed Women, the show that's been radically changing the way women perceive health, fitness, and their bodies since 2015. I'm your host, Noelle Tarr. Submit your questions to wellfedwomen@gmail.com, and you can keep up with the show on Instagram at wellfedwomen. Welcome to the Well-Fed Women Podcast. This is episode number 290. I am your host, Noelle Tarr of CoconutsAndKettlebells.com. I'm a nutritional therapy practitioner and a certified personal trainer. Today, we are doing an entire episode dedicated to the mineral I've mentioned on here about 2,000 times, and that is magnesium. Magnesium plays a critical role in so many functions in our body, and it's one most people are deficient in. So today I'm going to be discussing all things magnesium, including how it plays into hormone function and gut health and how to properly supplement with it, including what to look for, when to take it, and even when to take it depending on where you're at in your cycle, with our expert on the topic, Wade Lightheart. Supplementation is his passion, so I'm excited to dive into his knowledge and all of your questions. Before I bring on Wade, winter is coming and it is time to stock up on safer cleaning supplies. My go-to, as I've mentioned many times before, is Puracy, because they are a company that is vigilant about clean and effective formulations free of harmful ingredients such as carcinogens, endocrine disruptors, fragrance, and triclosan, which can suppress your immune system. Puracy is on it right now. They have gel and foaming hand soap. They're stocked up on hand sanitizer, both the alcohol kind and the alcohol-free hand sanitizer, and both of those are completely fragrance-free. They have dish soap, laundry detergent, which I just switched over to and love, and also new, well, I mean, it's new to me, but I just found it. I found it on the website. I think they might have had this for a while. They have a disinfecting surface cleaner that kills 99.9% of all germs with hydrogen peroxide. That is a must to kill the flu virus and the norovirus, which, let me tell you, when your kids get that, you want the disinfecting spray. Speaking from personal experience, Puracy has worked with doctors, chemists, and cleaning professionals to create items that use only safe, plant-based, renewable ingredients and work better than their harsh chemical counterparts, and I can personally attest to that. To get 10% off your first order, the link is puracy.com/wellfed. All products are made in the USA, and they are safe for people and the environment, and they're certified cruelty-free. I know that's important to a lot of people. You can also just use the code WELLFED at checkout for 10% off. Again, it's puracy.com/wellfed. Now let me introduce Wade. Wade is an author, athlete, nutritionist, and expert on fixing digestion, and he's the host of the Awesome Health Podcast. If his name sounds familiar, I interviewed Wade back on episode number 258, all about fixing your gut and optimizing digestion. It was an incredible episode, and I got a lot of positive feedback from that episode. Fun fact about Wade, he is a former Mr. Universe competitor. He's been in the health industry for over 25 years, coached thousands of clients, and is sought out by athletes and high-performance-oriented individuals worldwide for his advice on how to optimize their health and fitness levels. Welcome, Wade.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, I told you when we had you on last time, I said, we have to have you back and we need to talk more about magnesium because I knew that was something you were really passionate about. So I'm so excited that you're back and I know you're really busy and you have a lot going on. So thanks for taking the time to come back and help our audience know exactly what to do.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Great to dive into the topic. I think it's something that everybody really, really needs to get aware of because the ravages of magnesium deficiency are so proliferated across the North American population that it's hard to imagine how beneficial this product can be for people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one of the things that's interesting is most doctors and people that I interview on the show will have mentioned before that when they pull, especially for women, when they pull labs, almost every single person is deficient in magnesium, which when you think about it is pretty astounding. And because it's not, you know, I think early on, and especially in nutritional therapy, we know magnesium is important. We know magnesium is critical for so many different functions. But then when you actually hear a doctor say, like, oh, yeah, everybody's deficient in magnesium, it kind of is like, oh, this is real. You know, this is something that is seen on labs and is a clinical issue. So I would love to dive into especially all about supplementation, because obviously this is one of those really interesting nutrients, minerals, that we actually can't really get from food all that much. So it can be really confusing. So before we dive in, we got a lot of questions from our community because a lot of people are deficient in magnesium and have a lot of issues supplementing with it. So first, can you just tell me what the heck magnesium is and how does our body use it exactly?
Well, magnesium for many people, it's oftentimes called the anti-stress mineral. And the reason that that is because it's involved in over 300 and some, I just saw some research over that there's researchers now suggesting it's involved in over 600 chemical transactions inside the body and many key enzymatic transactions, enzymes being catalysts inside the body. It's also a foundational element of neurotransmitter creation and intricately related to the relaxation of muscle tissue and also with bringing people out of fight or flight into rest and relax. The ironic part about all of this is not only through the last 70 years of modern food production and distribution through monoculture, chemicalization, and the diminishment of a lot of minerals from our food sources, but concordantly, we have an increase in the use of electronic equipment, and electronic equipment actually increases the requirement for this element, magnesium. And magnesium is also interrelated with calcium. And what's further compounds the challenge that we face as most people in North America is that there's a lot of products which are fortified with calcium, and calcium has been promoted particularly to women for preventing osteoporosis and a variety of other things. But if you take calcium without its concordant magnesium, they operate in a 2-to-1 ratio, your body will actually start dumping calcium. So the increased calcium, the decrease magnesium, and the inability to get this from our food, and compound it with the increased requirement of magnesium in the world that we live in today, has made this massive hole in people's nutrition program. And of course, as you said, now people who are pulling labs are saying everybody's deficient. Now, that's deficient to the RDA, the recommended daily allowances for magnesium, or what should be, if you're doing like a SpectraCell test, which I think is one of the gold standards of how well you absorb and utilize magnesium or any other vitamin and mineral inside the product. It's really, really good. The bottom line is almost no one is talking about what is the optimal levels inside the body. And what we can say is that magnesium supplementation can have radical and positive effects on a variety of conditions, including PMS, brain function, anxiety, neurotransmitter formulation, and the relaxation of muscle tissue. So, I mean, that's a lot just there, and that's just offhanded comments.
That is a lot. I was dying when you said, okay, you have to clarify for me, how in the world does blue light and our computers deplete magnesium?
Beautiful question. And so we have to recognize is that over the millions of years of evolutionary biology, we have been set on a 24-hour solar clock. And what happens is light from the sun will activate light receptors both inside our skin and deep inside our brain. It's been now revealed that that's actually the truth. And this activates energetic systems inside the body. Concordantly, when it gets dark, our body switches into rest and relax mode because humans have been designed to operate that way. Now, when you are sitting in front of computers and televisions and all these different screens, you send out blue light, which is picked up by the optic nerve, and it thinks, because of evolutionary biology of millions of years that, oh, it's time to wake up. And that means we spend too much time in sympathetic nervous system and not enough time in parasympathetic. So we're too much in fight or flight and not enough in rest and relax. And the result of that is people start to feel quote unquote stressed. So then they find that they don't wind down very well in the evening, and then they have disruptive sleep patterns. So they wake up in the morning, they haven't had good deep sleep, they haven't had the proper amount of REM to clear off the thoughts of the last day. So they're coming into the day, and what do? They take that hit of caffeine, they take whatever stimulant they require, they take another dose of the daily news, and they're on about their day. And then all of this over time leads up to a depletion inside the body. And I've gone through that myself, just with the demands of modern society. And it's particularly evident for women today, because you have a lot of women today. You know, we're living in a two-income family world nowadays, and women are balancing both the role of mothers and, significant others or partners, however you want to describe that in the modern language, and as well as being, working through the business world and then also trying to maintain, the bikini body that's advertised on every single magazine. And oh, by the way, they need to be an amazing, sexual tantric master. And on top of that, they need to be like helping some group in a foreign country with some charity program on time of it. And literally, I mean, when you read these like hit pieces on some superstar person that has 14 nannies and 22 assistants and an income of $80 million a year, and women are comparing themselves to that supermodel or that Hollywood actor or actresses in a little piece that makes them look like they're indestructible. And it leaves a lot of women feeling even more stressed that they're not living up to this unlivable standard, which all of these subconscious thoughts leads to neurotransmitter depletion. And neurotransmitter depletion is the foundational mineral for manufacturing these are magnesium combined with particular amino acids that form the neurotransmitters. You need both of those, and that results in healthy digestion, the ability to break down your proteins, and having enough magnesium. And women, particularly when they go through their cycle, are at extreme risk. So many of the associative causes of PMS can be attributed to not enough rest and relaxation and concordant extreme magnesium deficiencies over time combined with the high stress of modern living.
That was so insightful. I was just laughing because you have perfectly described it. And I haven't even seen that of it yet, that part of it yet, where, as far as like, oh, we're also supposed to be, we're supposed to be, most women nowadays, the modern woman has a side hustle and is a mother and is the perfect wife and is cooking dinner and is meal prepping. And oh, by the way, you should also be involved in nonprofits and helping, hungry kids across the world. And while all of that is great and we all want to do all of that, the truth of the matter is we are always strung thin, and especially now that we have social media, all we're doing is comparing ourselves constantly, which you have said now and showed us that is just depleting neurotransmitters. It's keeping us in fight or flight because we're looking at our blue screens constantly, even when we're laying in bed. And it's a recipe for disaster, when we're talking about hormonal function, gut function, and sleep, and it just sort of continues to feed into this negative health pattern, which is sort of terrifying. And then you throw 2020 in there and it's crazy.
I mean, if you look at just the increase in Zoloft prescriptions in the first month of the mitigations, it was up 21% and was put on the risk for not having enough to supply the population. And of course, all these antidepressant medications, guess what mineral they deplete?
Oh man, I didn't know
magnesium.
That.
Magnesium.
So can you explain, or maybe you did explain it, but what you're saying is that stress, or the stress response, so fight or flight, requires magnesium. So magnesium basically supports our sympathetic state. And when we're in that sympathetic state, our magnesium is depleted faster than it would be in a parasympathetic state. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So basically, magnesium. So let's deal with athletes as a great example. So one of the great researchers behind all of this information was a fellow by the name of Charles Poliquin. Mm. And for those who don't know who he was called the strength sensei, and he was the coach for Olympic gold medalists in 27 different sports, as well as the who's who of professional sports. And professional athletes are in that fight or flight response far more than the average population, because they're training at extremely high levels all of the time. And what he found is that many of these, because he was pulling blood before it was even popular, and he was finding that these athletes were becoming completely deficient in magnesium. Now, originally, it was thought that magnesium was only involved in the relaxation response of the muscle, because of these calcium magnesium channels, and you need one in order to kind of, like, sodium and calcium, and these minerals work to contract muscle. But magnesium is the part to relax it. So people who suffer from muscle spasms oftentimes have extreme magnesium deficiency. In fact, one of my friends who's the trainer for Madonna, he's an incredible man, and, you know, he's a well-known guy, and he does all these kind of extreme things, and he's a martial artist and a dancer and just an amazing guy. He had these extreme cramping his whole life, so bad that he would almost crash his car sometimes. And he said, look, I was on your magnesium product for 3 weeks, and all of a sudden it all went away. Now, what is that? It's a relaxation response. Well, it turns out that Charles Poliquin also noticed that different types of magnesiums were uptaken by the brain and by the nervous system and used for enzymatic production. And he used to separate all these different types of magnesiums to give athletes the amount of magnesium they needed to deal with their high-stress lifestyles. Well, fast forward to the average person. The average mom is an Olympic athlete. I mean, chase around 2-year-old and 3-year-old kids, and, you know, you're on literally like a suicide watch, like constantly, because you're trying to keep them from killing themselves while running your side hustle, while figuring out your job, while cooking foods and preparing everything and comparing yourself to anyone. I doubt there's many Olympic athletes that have this range of stress in their lives. And so I think we're doing a very big disservice to women in general by projecting a lifestyle that simply is not supportable for most people.
Yeah. You've mentioned a few times that magnesium deficiency can actually play a role in PMS, which I'm assuming also it could probably play a role in PMDD, which is PMS in extreme. And some of the early thought process about both PMS and PMDD is that estrogen dominance plays a role as well. What is the role of magnesium in hormonal balance, and does a hormonal balance like estrogen dominance or something like that, are there any specific hormonal imbalances when we're talking about the sex hormones involved with the cycle that deplete magnesium?
Yeah, so great question again. And I want to be clear about people. I'm not a biochemist, but I leverage information from biochemists to kind of advocate things. So if I get one of the pronunciations wrong or don't quite get it, please bear with me for all you technical scientists, and we do appreciate any corrections. But let me give you the overall stuff. Magnesium and estrogen dominance, there is an enzyme called COMT. Okay, so that's catechol O methyltransferase. And this is in the liver, and it works in conjunction with magnesium to excrete excess levels of estrogen. That's the simple version of this, okay? And the society that we live in today has increased the estrogenization of all of society in radical levels. And we've noticed this in industrial areas as women are developing, going through, you know, they're starting to get their cycles at a much earlier age than they did before. There's an increase in fibroids, which is often associated with low COMT function, which is a magnesium enzyme that, you know, catechol O methyltransferase, we'll just call it COMT for now on, just so we don't have to go through all that kind of point. And the bottom line is, and there's a great video, and I think people should watch this, and it's, and you can apply it to men, but you can also apply it to females. So for men, there's a great video called The Disappearing Male, and it's the impact of estrogenization on males. So we now have a 1 in 10 rate of males born with micropenis. We have testosterone levels are down 30% across the board from 20-year-olds to 7-year-olds. So the average man in his 20s today has the testosterone levels of a 7-year-old in the 1970s. Now, you can extract that information over to women, and what happens is they have a higher than normal amounts of estrogen. And of course, as a woman goes through their cycle, this is going to vary to extreme levels. And in excess, it creates fibroids. It can also cause headaches, sugar cravings, low blood sugar, dizziness, these type of conditions. And that, you know, what is one of the number one things that women crave when they have PMS?
Chocolate.
And what is one of the ingredients that is found in cacao?
Yeah.
Magnesium. Isn't that interesting? So what I think a lot of people get embarrassed about their sugar cravings or their, you know, their sweet tooth draining, particularly women, and they kind of, you know, they're the closet eater. And I know I've coached thousands of really high performing women, you know, fitness competitors and all that sort of stuff. And they're secretly sneaking the chocolate and stuff. But the problem is when you're trying to get that from these type of areas, you're looking, you know, refined sugars, dairy products, sodium, refined carbohydrates. And all of these things mean that you end up with all these deficiencies and associated deficiencies. Iron and zinc and all these other things are also correlated. So what happens is they kind of work concordantly, and then with high estrogen levels, and if you don't have the COMT, now you're starting to run the hormone fluctuation. And then if you go into your medical doctor, they say, oh, we need to get your progesterone levels up, and then we've got to put you on a thyroid medication, and then we need this anti-fibroid thing because you're getting fibroids, and you're like, oh my God, I'm in my 30s, I don't have kids, I've been working my career and my education, and now you're stressed out about that, so you're staying up late at night looking at your computer going, God, I need to find the solution when you need to be resting. And you know, like, it just kind of scales and builds on itself.
Yeah.
And so the bottom line is, if you want to dump estrogen, you have to get magnesium. Interesting enough, when men take magnesium, they start to notice a boost in their testosterone levels. So now some of the sexual issues that are happening for men and women and not feeling connected, which is also related to magnesium in connection hormones. So serotonin is a big connection molecule inside your brain that you use. You need this, and of course it's dependent on magnesium in order to form enough of it. So when you're feeling disconnected from your partner, you're not connecting sexually, you're not feeling that kind of thing, you're stressed out because everything's going on and you're having really bad things from your PMS, guess what? It's dietary related, and the diet leads to hormone disbalance.
Yeah. So I'm kind of, so cycle syncing, in other words, syncing your foods and your exercise to the things that are happening during your cycle is becoming much more, it's a popular idea. Now, there's not a ton of science behind it right now, but there are some things that we know about how estrogen mildly influences insulin and all that, for example. So I'm kind of thinking through this, and so estrogen spikes mid-cycle, right when women ovulate, and that's typically when we have a ton of energy. However, it seems like it might... Have you ever tinkered with magnesium with any of your clients where they take more magnesium during the ovulation phase, like maybe that 5-day period where an estrogen peaks to help it kind of sort of flush estrogen out? Because some of the recommendations too from other doctors, like Dr. Jolene Brighton, she talks about really making sure that you're eating a lot of greens and stuff that will basically support your liver during ovulation to really help flush out that estrogen, since estrogen peaks right at that time.
Funny you should mention that, because we have our in-house researcher that works on kind of high-level coaching programs where we can test things in a clinical practice. And she's really big on that whole concept about this cycle that a woman runs and when her training and her nutrition should be adjusted from it. In fact, I was just having a discussion with her about a month ago on what she's noticing. And two things that she has, which is concordant to what you're kind of thinking through, and that is that training cycles, if you're exercising, need to adjust based on where you are in your cycle, and nutritional components need to adjust where you are on the cycle. And so the early information is suggesting that increasing magnesium overall has a potential benefit, a significant benefit. And specifically in that time frame, I'm not quite sure what she's got yet, but I will be asking her, because she is using magnesium off and on. She's using enzyme, like she's trying all these different things with people and running their blood and running their specs to see what's and their hormones to see what's happening. And she's finding positive results, not just with magnesium, but altering the diet and the supplementation programs based on where, and exercise protocols based on where a woman is in her cycle.
That's awesome. Okay. Yeah. Cause everything would have to be antidotal right now. Yes.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything would have to be personal
what
experience.
What I can say, as far as definable results, as Carolyn Dean, who's an MD and ND, and interesting enough, she works with the Medical Advisory Board and member of the Nutritional Magnesium Association. I didn't even know there was a Nutritional Magnesium Association until I started looking. Now, they did a trial with 32 women and gave oral magnesium to them, and it was found as an effective treatment for premenstrual symptoms related to mood changes, and that would indicate probably a drop in that that high level of estrogen too much. Because keep in mind, this is the point that we all have to recognize. There is the internal environment that your body is trying to manage, okay? But there's also the external environment. And so we're in an external environment of super high estrogens and enough that we know for an absolute fact it's disrupting all males in society from every species. That's hard evidence. And we now are coming to the conclusion is, oh, it's affecting women. It's affecting them in different ways. But now when you have that spike in estrogen, well, guess what? You're spiking that on top of an environmental high estrogen levels. And then now your estrogen's too high. Now it affects your fibroid. Now it's a birth rate, all this sort of stuff, and moods. So what starts out as a small observable thing is like, I have a food craving, or I notice I'm a little bit more erratic, or I'm having trouble making decisions, or I have sugar cravings. That's how things start out. But over time, these things left unchecked lead to serious medical conditions. And that's why working with the coach and observing what's going on in your life is absolutely critical to checking these things before you wreck yourself. You know, the old thing, check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I think people underestimate the power of anecdotal evidence within themselves, like stuff they're noticing within themselves. A lot of people don't pause and actually recognize or give attention to a lot of these smaller symptoms before they become huge, big red blinking buttons that stop them from doing what they want to do. Which leads me to my next question. What are the common symptoms of magnesium deficiency? And are there symptoms that happen like early on, like sort of those smaller little things that sometimes we write off versus symptoms that happen as the result of the chronic deficiency?
Yeah, the biggest one is difficulty sleeping. That is like having the trouble falling to sleep, kind of having that brain that won't shut down, inability to relax, waking up tired. That's usually when you get to that point, you're in deep depletion. And if you look at the use of sleep drugs, the other thing is inability to manage stress. So if you find yourself, because you're 5 minutes late for something, or that your partner forgot to do something, or you're beating yourself up, like you're having kind of like an over emotionalized response, like you're really angry or really sad or really depressed about some incident in your life, the chances are what happens is your tolerance for external stress is being breached. In other words, there's just too much going on in your life and you can't meet those needs. Now, part of that is because maybe your life has too much. But this other thing is oftentimes that your nervous system is just depleted of these vital elements. And oftentimes we can't make the shifts to the external world as fast as we would like. That's usually an unplugging process under the guidance of a good coach. But number two, how do we support ourselves during that transition where we get dialed in to our optimal levels? And I think that's where stuff like magnesium comes in.
Yeah. So you had mentioned Spectracell, I think. What's the best test to figure out if you're deficient in magnesium?
Yeah, I love the Spectracell test. So by the and I have an episode with Dr. Paul Maximus, who's my ND, and he sends people off to it. And you can get this from any naturopathic doctor. And basically, they draw blood and they send this blood to a lab and the lab spins it out and they're able to tell. They put all these different test tubes and spin your blood all these different ways. And they can tell not only the levels that you have, but the levels that you're actually absorbing. So this is much different than a standardized blood test. They can actually see the cells and they test each one of these of how well they absorb, how they're resistant to things. And from that gives you a far more detailed evaluation of what vitamins and minerals that you're deficient in so that you can kind of specifically target those elements. It's a great test. It costs you about maybe $500 to get it done. So it's not inexpensive. It's more inexpensive. But what it'll save you in the long term about your supplementation, I think, is well worth it because now you can get targeted, get more results for less money.
So does everybody need to take a magnesium supplement knowing what we know? And if so, I remember you mentioned something about RDAs, and I'm assuming that you think that that's likely not enough in terms of what we should be supplementing with. So what should somebody be supplementing with as a baseline if they don't know, like, if they're exactly deficient or not because of they haven't gotten the lab tests? Sorry, well, that was a lot of questions. Sorry.
That's all right. Yeah. First and foremost, you have to recognize that over the last 70 years, the unintended consequences of the production, distribution, monoculture farming, the advent of biochemicals in herbicides, pesticides, and funguses, the additive of dyes and preservatives, the definition of food, which didn't include enzymes, didn't include probiotics, didn't include the optimal level of elements, has left the definition of food and the quality of our food completely out of touch with reality. So people who are advocating you can get everything from a balanced diet are really low resolution thinkers and doing a disservice. Plus our medical establishment, which dominates most of the production of the information out there, are not trained in nutrition. And we have been taught to default to an authority. And unfortunately, one of the great aspects, I believe, of the feminine psychology is typically they tend to be more intuitive and observative of their body because they go through a very specific cycle and it changes significantly. And much of that intuitive knowledge has been stripped away or discounted by people who I think have no business, and women have left their own natural observation abilities. My coach in bodybuilding back in the day made me write down my feelings, my thoughts, my cravings, and my energy level every single day as I was training. And this was the guideline from which we built our programs from. And guess what? When you start doing scientific testing, you can correlate your moods and your feelings and these intuitive observational components that you build into your life with actual data. And if you do that enough, you'll start to be able to determine, based on your moods, what the data would actually indicate. And so I'm encouraging, I love that your listeners have you listening to this, is I'm encouraging you and empowering women to take back their responsibility and their authority in their life. You know more about your body than anybody else on the planet. The third thing I'm going to add to this is this development of orthomolecular nutrition, which was cultivated by Dr. Abram Hoffer, Linus Pauling, the two-time Nobel Prize winner, and Dr. David Hawkins. And they were using nutrition to treat advanced stages of neurological disorders, like really, really complicated problems way back in the 70s. And that became the foundation of orthomolecular nutrition. And what that is not looking at the RDA of a component, but taking observational data points of a person and then dosing them up to high levels of a particular vitamin, mineral, supplement, whatever, that would offset what the conditions were. And they had astounding levels of success and were attacked viciously by the psychiatric practice boards. And then eventually it kind of came to that they were all right. And then that got recently kind of attacked and buried, and now kind of the splitting off of those institutions into what I would say competing business operations, the orthomolecular psychiatry departments versus the medical pharmaceutical psychiatric things. And it's, that division has just continued to increase over time. And so oftentimes it's about exposure to information as much as what that quote unquote authority might be saying.
So I think one of the most confusing things about magnesium supplementation is that there are a lot of different types. Why is that? And what types should one be supplementing with?
Great question. So one of the things that, and kudos to Charles Poliquin, because he would actually learn languages from other cultures. And by doing that, he would get access to research that wasn't present in, say, one culture or another. I think he spoke like 13, 14 languages. And he noticed that different parts of the planet produce different types of magnesium, and that magnesium may show a benefit and then it wouldn't. And so he started doing all these tests. And I actually followed along with that in my own life when I got too stressed out and burned out. And I started trying all these different magnesiums to see the physiological effects. Because if you read the literature, one will say, oh, well, magnesium chelate for this one. Another one will say magnesium bisglycinate. And another one will say magnesium aspartate, right? And it's like, okay, was it the magnesium in general, or was it the particular bonding agent that was added to the magnesium that made it absorb? Like, who knows, right? Mm-hmm. So the only way to figure this out was I literally, myself and Matt and a couple of people that test us, we just got bottles and bottles and bottles of magnesium out and started testing them on our own in concordant with research. And it got very expensive and very consuming. And we had a few disasters, because if you take the wrong magnesium, too much of it, you get disaster pants and you have to run to the desert for the thing. And so there were some very messy experiences that we went through in order to develop this product. So we use both what I call clinical and also research based information. We take research and then we try and test it clinically to see what happens. So what we came up with is there's seven different types of magnesiums which seem to exert the best effect, and different ones through different things. So if you want, I can run through them real quick and just give you a couple bullet points of the different types of magnesium that you would look at or what you would want that particular magnesium for.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
Okay, so magnesium chelate, this is one that's been noticed to in the research that was reported to kind of quiet the nervous system, assisting in sleep and improving overall mood. And we think that has to do with active neurotransmitters for calming the mind and body. Then there's magnesium citrate. Now, this is a very common magnesium, and it's the one that is most associated for use as a laxative. So if you're suffering from constipation, citrate is great for that. The thing is, if you're taking it in high levels, this is the one that will get you into trouble with the bathroom is faster than anything else, because it draws water into the intestines. And oftentimes constipation is related to low water in the intestines. So magnesium citrate's great for that. Magnesium bisglycinate. Now, this one is related to high blood pressure and disease. It seems to have a positive effect on that. Type 2 diabetes. Okay, so it's involved in breaking down sugars and probably would decrease insulin resistance. Also in osteoporosis. So if you look at red blood cells are manufactured inside the bones, and magnesium is an essential element of bone formation. And of course with blood sugar, which is, you know, related to your blood, you know, your insulin levels in your blood. And here's magnesium again showing up, and also in heart contraction for heart disease, decreased blood pressure. So all of a sudden increasing viscosity of your blood so it grows smoother, right? And that will lower high blood pressure. Migraine headaches occur from the restriction of blood flow to the brain. And what's interesting is this type of magnesium has been shown to increase blood flow to the brain, and also depression because of the formation of serotonin. All right, so interesting, antidepressants, one of the methods that they work is it raises brain levels of magnesium. Interesting, right? So then we have magnesium malate, which is related to the enzymatic processes. This is the one would probably be more potent for estrogenization, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, people who have energy, and also removing aluminum from the body. I think its role with enzymes, this is the one I feel would be very strongly associated with PMS. There's another one as well involved in that. Then we have magnesium taurate, which is great for cardiovascular health. It's been shown as a nootropic, which enhances mood functioning. as well as helping the blood to pump blood through the body, also associated with prevention of migraines and overall cognitive function and memory. Now, reason being is taurate is connected with taurine, which is GABA aminobutyric acid, which is actually, and I have a favorite tea shop, by the way, that I like to drink GABA tea, which produces GABA, and it has a very calming effect, but without drowsiness, which is really interesting. But it does help calmness. And it's why I like to drink tea over coffee. Taurine also is related to increasing BDNF, which is brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which increases the formation of neurons inside the body. And also taurate is well involved with insulin sensitivity and lower risk of PMS. So particularly around the response, the inflammatory response related to menstrual pain, irritability, and bloating, magnesium taurate is really great for that. Orotate, this is the one that is most used by athletes. Heart rhythm, vasomotor tone, blood pressure, immune system, bone integrity, and blood glucose levels, as well as it helps promote calcium absorption inside the body. Now, all of these are going to be better absorbed and utilized if you take these three compounds with it. Humic and fulvic, monoatomic acid blends, because those particular blends are what plants use to extract vitamins and minerals, and they carry that those nutrients into the cell, along with vitamin B6 and manganese citrate. So normally these would be found, the elements, as part of magnesium. So and if you had it in its kind of plant-based form, because normally we either eat plants or we animals that eat plants, because we can't convert rocks into nutrients, which a lot of vitamins and supplements are just ground up rocks. So you want an organic, naturally occurring magnesium that has the humic, the B6, and the manganese in order that you are going to get maximum absorbability. You'd probably want to get a multiple strain one, and that way you're going to get all the areas. So that kind of covers it all.
That was a lot. Okay.
I've gone deep in this subject. So, you know, it's like it's an amazing, it's a amazing area of study, and I'm learning more things every other day. And you know, we're continuing to optimize what we do each and every day.
So is that why you created a compound supplement, so to speak, so that you kind of hit all bases? Or is there something about the compounding of all the different types of magnesium that allows for greater absorption?
You nailed it. So basically it was this component. What we found is that different types of magnesium was reporting different types of results, yet we couldn't really get the specific dosage relative to that person or dosage, because we're developing a product that's based on, we're trying to hit, you know, 50 different problems with one product. And based on Charles's work, we recognize that, well, the chances of us getting it with one supplement, with one type of magnesium, would be very low. So if we could increase our odds by taking the 7 best magnesiums we can get, combining them together. Now, no one had done that, because the problem is with these bonding agents like chelate and citrate and bisglycinate, et cetera, you have different molecular sizes. And that's probably one of the reasons for the absorbability issue. So nobody could produce this because it was very slow. The expedients used when you put it into capsules were a problem. It would stick together. The capsules would break, and everybody said that this can't be done. And we said, yeah, well, nobody's done it doesn't mean it can't be done. So we went on a total crazy mission to get this thing done. And we tried all these capsules, and we're big on having natural expedients. That is, we don't put like chemicals and weird stuff in our capsules, because you need it for the flow rates when you produce this stuff, because it either sticks to the machines. And we spent a long time, but we solved all those problems. And then we had a multi, kind of a shotgun approach to all these different magnesiums. We did find specific ratios that worked best, which we don't reveal, obviously, for protection programs. But the bottom line is, this is the formulation that we landed with in the end. And people we are overwhelmed with the positive benefits that's coming back at us. I mean, we literally have not been able to keep this product in stock in our company. And even though we keep ordering extreme amounts of production levels, we keep selling out, because I think the deficiency is so bad.
It is. I think so. And especially 2020, it's probably even more so, unfortunately. And yeah, it's honestly the first time that I have actually felt and seen a change. I used to take my only magnesium citrate because I thought that that was one of the only, the highly, you know, absorbable form, and that there wasn't other forms that were that absorbable. But of course I was wrong. And so taking the compound supplement, I think more so positively impacted my sleep, along with, oddly enough, you know, a blocking blue light, wearing blue light blockers pretty regularly and doing some red light therapy. The combo of those three things has, like, I think now it's a must for all women in the modern world. Like, we have to be blocking blue light, doing some sort of red light therapy, and taking, like, a compounded magnesium supplement in a sufficient amount on a daily basis. I don't think we can, the modern age, especially 2020, we can't afford not to.
I believe that's true. And, you know, one of the things that we do with our companies, remove all the risk. Anybody that tries our products, if they're not absolutely blown away, like they don't feel what I call a somatic effect, they don't feel a difference or observe a difference in their life, they just let us know. And we return their, like, their first bottle is, like, for free. So mm-hmm. if they try it, they don't like it, and they say, hey, you know what, Wade, I tried it, it didn't work for me. No problem. Just give your money back. Thanks for giving us a try. We want to always de-risk that for people.
Yeah.
So that, and the magnesium though, we haven't ever experienced anything like this in my 17 years running the company.
Stress is taxing, and one of the things that is greatly depleted during times of stress is magnesium. Unfortunately, soil degradation has dramatically decreased magnesium in our food, so the majority of people are deficient in it. Magnesium is critical for supporting the stress response and is the catalyst for over 300 reactions in the body that connect to proper detoxification, energy production, and even digestion. And women are much more prone to magnesium deficiency because it's also depleted during pregnancy. Because of this, magnesium is one of the few supplements I recommend just about everybody consider. And not all supplements are created equal. In fact, different types of magnesium have different benefits, and your body actually can benefit from receiving a variety of different types. This is why I love Bioptimizer's Magnesium Breakthrough, which contains 7 different types of magnesium, all in highly absorbable forms, including magnesium L3 and 8, which Steph and I talk a lot about because it can pass the blood-brain barrier and help with cognitive function. Right now, it is back in stock. Go to magbreakthrough.com/wellfed. Then, as a special tip, use the code WELLFED10 to get an additional 10% off the bundled packages you'll find on that page, which ends up being something like 40% off. Again, that's magbreakthrough.com/wellfed and use the coupon code WELLFED10 to save up to 40% off select packages. All right, we got 10 minutes. Let's rapid fire some questions from the community. This first one is, I'd love to know the best time of day to take magnesium, particularly for stress, and 2, whether you need to take it with food, and if so, what type and how much food?
Great question. I prefer divided dosages throughout the day because if you go over your tolerance level, so in orthomolecular nutrition, basically what they would do is they would take your dosage up till you get the runs, and then they would titrate down. And that's literally what we did into magnesium. So when you're extremely deficient, what I suggest is taking 2 capsules in the morning and then trying 2 capsules in the afternoon and then 2 capsules in the evening. Now that seems like a lot. That would be about 1.5 grams. If you don't get the runs, like if you don't have to go to the bathroom relatively quickly under those dosages, that means you're absorbing all of this. And what you would do is you would add either another round of 2 caps at another point in the day, or you would increase your first morning dosage by a cap and your second one by a cap and so on until you get to the point where you get the runs. Once you get the runs, and that'll usually happen for most people at 3 to 5 grams, titrate down to 0.5 to 1 gram below that and stay at that dosage for at least 90 days. that would, well, we have shown when we've been doing this with the SpectraCell testing, it usually takes anywhere from 3 to 6 months to correct a magnesium imbalance. You'll start to notice benefits, but the real benefits when you get those high levels of magnesium, you'll start to feel a sense of calmness in your life, and your perceived level of stress goes way down, and it goes back to that fight or flight response. You're not in fight or flight all the time, so you don't have those responses. As far as how you take it with food, take it on an empty stomach. It doesn't matter that much, because with Magnesium Breakthrough, it is based on a food product on its own. It has all the elements that allow you to absorb and digest it no matter how you take it. A lot of people just take it with food because it's convenient. Mm. I do believe it's really great before bedtime, though, for people who have trouble sleeping. And also right after working out is a great time. And first thing in the morning, I would say those are the three best times.
Got it. This is from Leonie. She says, I have been advised to take magnesium for shoulder and back pain, but it makes me feel nauseous. What can I do to resolve this?
First and foremost, you need to determine, is there any elements in the magnesium that you're taking that are like contaminants? So a lot of people will put stearate and other preservatives and chemical agents, dioxides and things like that, that are causing nauseation inside the body. It also could be related to the particular type. We talked about those different seven types we referred to about the different types of magnesium. So you may have a intolerance to one magnesium over the other. And the third thing is, if you're getting nauseated from a particular type of food or supplement or something like that, there's something within that you're not able to break down and digest and is being determined as a contaminant. So it's either an element within the formula that you're taking, or there's something off with your digestive system, or you have high levels of toxicity. Particularly, I would suggest it could be aluminum or mercury tolerance. So the thing to do is go get a naturopathic doctor, get your test work out, find out what could be throwing you off on that. Look at the products and have it evaluated that you're taking and say, is there something in here that I'm having a response to? And that would probably solve that problem.
I have a pretty interesting question, and I'm interested to see your thoughts on this, since you do know a lot about the gut too. This is from Andrea. She says, I have a gut malabsorption problem. What products do you recommend to absorb topically? I do Epsom salt baths, looking for something like a lotion for the days I don't have time for a bath. And then Jennifer has a follow-up question, and she said, agreed. I've heard topical sprays are more effective than pills. Is there any truth to that?
Well, it depends what you're taking it for. So there'll be certain benefits to taking topographical magnesium, and this is quote unquote the old familiar Epsom salt baths. There is a company, I actually really like their oils. It's called Activation Oil. They have a topographical magnesium product that I think is great, as if you're looking at for just overall relaxation or muscle tissue spasms. I think it can be very, very effective for a lot of people. Will you get the same benefits neurologically or nervous system wise? I'm not so sure that you will, but it is very good for those things.
And if somebody has a gut malabsorption problem, is there something to are they not going to be able to absorb magnesium, or is that a problem that can coincide?
Well, there could be two things. One, there could be a genetic or epigenetic issue that's going on. They lack the vital enzymes that's required in order to break that particular nutrient down. The other thing is one thing that improves, we know that improves absorption is B6. Manganese citrate and humic and fulvic monatomic acid. So those elements added to it. And then the third thing is, and everybody has some variants of digestive distress. It depends how, you know, of malabsorption. Mm-hmm. that's pretty concordant. So they need to fix the gut.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Okay. Let's see. This is from Mary Kate. How do you know if magnesium is doing anything for you? Is there something that people should be looking for, a reduction in symptoms, or is it something that, like, how much time should somebody give it?
You should notice benefits within a month. It's going to be related to the dosage that you take. I would do recommend increase your dosage till you get your tolerance level. Keep that high for 30 to 90 days and then titrate down from that so that you're taking probably anywhere between 0.5 gram to 1.5 grams per day. What you'll notice, improved sleep, calmness under pressure and a reduction of PMS syndromes if you're a female.
Thank you, Wade, for answering all of our questions. The link to, although we've mentioned it many times and you've heard it mentioned earlier in this episode, the link to get Magnesium Breakthrough at a discount, which we so appreciate, Wade, is magbreakthrough.com/wellfed10. Again, magbreakthrough.com/wellfed10. I appreciate you being here, Wade. I know you got to jump off and do other things because you are a busy person. So thank you so much for being here. And where can we people get in touch with you or just learn more about you or follow you? What's the best way to keep in touch?
Yeah, look us up on Bioptimizers. I am starting to post on Instagram. I've been resistant for years and my team is forcing me. So we do have an Instagram account. I do make some mentions on that. We also have Facebook, bioptimizers.com. We have a great course. Please check out the Bucket Theory of Nutrition, which is in our 12-week Awesome Health course. And that will explain what I alluded to about dosing up and then titrating down. And this is how you use the latest scientific research around orthomolecular nutrition to address deficiencies in the body. And instead of randomizing things, you can get really granular and specific and really transform your life with targeted nutrition.
Awesome. I will link to that in the show notes. For more about Magnesium Breakthrough, again, magbreakthrough.com/wellfed10. For more about me, go to coconutsandkettlebells.com. Make sure to join our Facebook group. It is Well Fed Women Holistic Health Group. You can just search it in Facebook and search the group specifically. When you join, make sure you tell me you're from the podcast so I know you're not a spammer. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.